Good morning. We're in the topic of Passover, the subtopic Exile of Egypt. We're in excerpt number 15. You can find the study material on our website, Kabbalah.info, or on the Arvut system in the study materials button above. You can also insert questions and understand the question. Chosen questions relevant to the topic will be asked.
Yes, in order for us to enter spirituality, in order to come closer to the Creator, to feel Him, we need to get a deficiency for it, a desire. Everything is achieved only inside of the desire. And if there is no desire, then there is no kli, no place for the revelation of the desired outcome. And therefore, before we reach spirituality, we have to go through a stage that is called achieving the deficiency for spirituality, achieving the vessel. And that state is called Egypt, the exile from spirituality. And this is what we have to go through. When? Now. Until when? Until we will achieve a deficiency that is sufficient in order to feel in it the beginning of the spiritual development. So, what is spirituality? Spirituality is bestowal, connection, incorporation of everyone in everyone, so that we reach a single desire, a single vessel. When will we reach that? When we will get a desire for it. Therefore, we can also measure our state according to how much we are lacking being in connection, in unity, in mutual bestowal, in bestowal to the Creator. And according to that, we can measure the exile. When we emerge from Egypt, when we truly want to bestow from us to the Creator, we cannot do that in Egypt. It is possible to implement it only outside of our ego, when we rise above it. This is considered that we exit Egypt, but to achieve this deficiency that I feel that I am inside of my ego, and my ego is not letting me, not giving me the possibility to connect with everyone and to bestow through everyone to the Creator, those states we can achieve, and that attainment is called the attainment of the exile of Egypt. And to the extent that we will attain it correctly, to the measure that is required in each and every one of us, then each and every one of us, and also all of us together, well, that already depends on how it happens, but we exit Egypt. And therefore, we have to realize, to understand, what are we actually going towards? We're going toward connection. We're going toward bestowal between us and from us to the Creator. And when we will truly reach a desire, when we will achieve a desire for it, not the realization of it, but only the desire, then we can already say that we have realized Egypt. We don't need more, except for a deficiency for connection, and to bestow in this deficiency as much as possible to each other. Only the deficiency. We cannot yet implement it. We cannot connect between us, because we are in Egypt. Pharaoh is still between us, our ego. It's not letting us connect. But When we very much want it to happen, we reach a state where we truly run away from that state. We rise above it. We jump out of it to whatever it will be, so long as we are not in a state where I cannot be connected with the friends in mutual bestowal. I cannot reach such relations between us. That's it. This is actually the first stage that we have to reach. At least a little bit, each one of us, and a little bit, all of us together. This is the condition for the exodus from Egypt. Of course, it's not simple, but this is what we need to yearn for, to aim ourselves to, and the Creator will help us. By what? By blows. We have the 10 blows, 10 plagues, and they are well known, which we get at the time that we are in Egypt. And those plagues actually go not over the children of Israel, as we call them, meaning not over the desires that yearn to connect and to reach from their connection to being as one, but rather over the desires that do not want so much. They don't quite want to connect, that they're in the process. In short, we'll go through it and we will see. But nevertheless, the process is a well-known process. It is clear. It is scrutinized and explained in all of the books of Kabbalah, because there is no more than that. The most important thing, and this is what we always say in memory of the Exodus from Egypt, that more than that deed, there is nothing more important than that. When a person rises above his ego and he already starts to feel the forces of bestowal, the acts of bestowal, he enters the act of bestowal. To that extent, he already starts to be connected with the Creator. In what? In that he ties himself to the friends and inside of the vessel that he puts together, when he connects their desires together, instead of that, he attains the Creator, and he is in contact with Him. So, let's continue. We have everything. Ahead of us. Please.
So in excerpt 15, Rabash writes, as Baal HaSulam explained, the exile in Egypt was in order to obtain the kelim, the vessels of the Egyptians. But it was only to borrow, and later to return to them. He interpreted that this matter the Creator is saying to Abraham, your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, was a guarantee of the inheritance. This meant that they would have a need to receive the abundance from the Creator, since wanting to come out of the enslavement of the Egyptians can be only through the help of a holy soul. Then they will need the Creator's help each time, and from this they will have a need to draw higher degrees.
As Baal HaSulam explained, number 15, the exile in Egypt was in order to obtain the vessels, the kelim of the Egyptians, the great desires to receive, and also to attain to what extent we are in the exile with these vessels, opposite to the Creator. But it was only to borrow, to take these vessels, these great desires to receive, and later to give them back. Why? Baal HaSulam explained that this matter of the Creator saying to Abraham, your descendants your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs was a guarantee of the inheritance, meaning that you will go in there, you will get to know these great vessels of the Egyptians, and you will come out of there. And then, necessarily, each time they needed the help of the Creator, to the extent that they attain, that they are in the vessels of reception, they feel a need for the Creator to help them, to deliver them from that, from the vessels of reception. Meaning here, there is a matter of the recognition of evil, that they exist in the vessels of reception. Before that, they don't at all recognize that it is evil. It's actually good, because through the great vessels of reception, a person advances in our egoistic world, until he starts to feel that the world, it doesn't really pay off for him. And to rise above it is possible only by shifting, by transitioning from the vessels of reception to the vessels of bestowal. This is called the Exodus of Egypt. This is why, by being in the vessels of reception and constantly losing and losing and suffering because of them, then we start to feel that this whole life is worth nothing. So what should we do then? To get a need to come out of these vessels of reception, a need for the exodus from Egypt.
Раф, если делать аналогию, то вот американская мечта — это и есть Египет.
Раф, if we make a comparison, the American dream is basically like Egypt. And how do we bring, how do we get a correct lack? And who will be the Moses that draws us forward?
Moses is the upper force. The Creator does all of this in different forms. So don't you search for where we have Moses between us and Aaron and other such protagonists that are written about in the Torah, but rather all of this is done by the Creator. The Creator does it by us being in a group, each one in his group, and wanting together with the group to rise in his desires from in order to receive to in order to bestow. That is, today, now, my Egypt is my attitude to the ten that I want to gain, to succeed, spirituality, that is. Corporeality, that's something else. We don't take it into consideration. But that I want to gain, to profit through the group. Why am I there? Certainly I want something. And then I have to calculate, why is it worthwhile for me to be with them truly? And then I go through some inner revolution. A revolution meaning an internal inversion. So that where else before I understood that success means to be in the vessels of reception and get a great profit in them. Now I want to be in vessels of bestowal and get from them even a small profit, but that is already more important for me than being in the vessels of reception with a great profit. And this determines my attitude to the group. Then I justify them that this is how the Creator is arranging them for me. It's not them, but rather the Creator is arranging it. And if I depict, instead of my ten, the Creator's attitude to me, and I realize that if he relates to me, then it's only in a good way, in a nice way, that is, whatever I see with respect to the ten things that are not good, it is because I am not okay. Anyone who disqualifies is disqualifying due to his own flaws. Then according to that, I begin to accept the group as something that is whole, as Rabash writes in his social articles. And I accept them as something that is holy and great and higher, exalted. And I'm happy and I'm grateful to the Creator that He brought me to that He placed my hand on the good fate. And this is how we, each and every one of us, advance towards attaching ourselves more and more to the Ten until we start to arrange ourselves in such a way that we see that between us such relations are formed so that each one gets some place of his own in the group, and all of us together begin to see that there is some mechanism here that is becoming revealed in the relations between us. This mechanism is called a partsuf, and in it, through mutual bestowal, we can already start to see that we can bestow to the Creator. And then inside of our bestowal to the Creator, we begin to discover the Creator's attitude to us. And these are already stages of the exodus from Egypt. Take it slowly, we will go through it, and it will happen. You will see that this is how it will happen. Soon.
Да, дорогой Рав, а что значит, что вот в наших действиях десятки по отдаче?
Yes, dear Rav. What does it mean that in our actions in the ten, in bestowal to the Creator, that we begin to reveal His attitude towards us?
Well, we need to see that, how it happens to a person. That's already a matter of words, language. I to my beloved and my beloved towards me. How do we communicate between us to the extent that I bestow in words, in desires, in thoughts, with complaints or praises to the Creator through friends? This is how I begin to see, to feel through the friends His attitude, His response to me. It will be revealed to each one more personally.
Yes?
What is the first partsuf in a ten?
The first partsuf in the ten is that the ten feels how it is connected and that it has a view, an opinion, not attainment yet, but a view that they are connected and that they are going together and that they certainly have common work in discovering the Creator and bestowing to the Creator. So, in that inclination to bestow to the Creator, they begin to see how they prepare themselves in order to receive from the Creator, because to bestow to the Creator means actually to receive from Him. As it says, if you're righteous, what will you give Him? Because the Creator doesn't need anything from us.
Additional question. The exit, is that of great hardship suffering from the present vessels, or the greatness and yearning for the next degree?
Greatness and yearning more. That is, it's as if we're running away from the problems, from the troubles. What are the troubles that we cannot reach connection and bestow?
And what are the vessels of the Egyptians?
We take their desires and deficiencies. We'll talk more about it, how it happens. It's a nice question. We need to see how we advance towards the Creator out of us wanting to bestow to Him. And from that we reach the people of Israel side from the work, that when they see that they are not capable of emerging from the will to receive, the Creator wants to awaken in us a strong will to receive to such a degree that we will push ourselves forward forcefully. Each one will push the others. And therefore, we need to organize or accumulate great forces in order to emerge. Can I say this? Like the race cars, they warm up, speed the wheels while still in the state, while still holding the brakes. Then they let go of the brakes and they fly forward.
The vessels of the Egyptians are not mine, not our own. Then what's mine?
Efficiency. That I want to reach connection with the others in order to bestow to the Creator through them. What do I bestow to the Creator? A deficiency. He doesn't need anything else.
Thank you, Rav. Before the lesson, I heard you tell Armit, the reader, the narrator, that we're still not in Egypt. So where are we and how do we enter Egypt?
We are before the entrance to Egypt, before the recognition that we are in Egypt. Just write one. Okay. Quote number 16. The Ari says that the exile in Egypt was that the view of Kedusha, holiness, was in exile. This means that the Klipa of Egypt ruled over the people of Israel. We should interpret that the people of Israel means that the whole nation wanted to work for the sake of the Creator and not for their own sake. As it is known that Israel means Yashal El, straight to the Creator, meaning everything for the Creator. The cavernous of Pharaoh is the opposite, to work only for one's own sake. For this reason, the view of Kedusha means that we must work for the sake of the Creator, meaning to bestow. This discernment was in exile under the rule of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, where Mitzrayim, Egypt, have the letters of Meitzaryam, narrow sea. And it is known that narrow means scarce in Hasadim. Again. 17. When one properly sanctifies the point in the heart within him, he begins to enter the exile in Egypt. At that time, he begins to see each time how far he is from the act of bestowal. Then, vessels form within him, meaning deficiencies, which the Creator will later be able to fill.
Yes, that it's clear there will be a person that he cannot correct them, unfill them, rather only the Creator can do so. Because they are already vessels that belong to spirituality, to the intention to bestow. Read 19 and that's it.
19. In the state of Lolishma, not for her sake, a person feels that he is regarded as Israel. But when a person wants to begin the work of bestowal, meaning to have kelim, to receive inner light, when he wants to emerge from self-love, then he comes into the exile in Egypt. That is, then a person sees how he is remote, how he is far from dvekut, adhesion with the Creator, in equivalence of form. Instead, whether in heart or in mind, the klipa, shell, of Egypt governs. In that state, he sees that he is far from being Israel. Instead, he is in a state of Jacob, a state of katnut, smallness, from the words akev, heel, and sof, end. In other words, he is in utter loneliness, seeing that each day is farther from the Creator, and he has no grip on Kedusha. This is called the exile in Egypt.
Egypt begins from this, that he begins to feel that he doesn't have pleasures in this world, that he doesn't know what to live from at all. And then he begins to recognize the true form of the will to receive, that he cannot enjoy in this world, and what to do. And then begins the new work of scrutiny. So who is a person? What does he need to enjoy from? What is he meant for? All these are questions that come in something from Egypt, but also still far from the process of Egypt. The process of Egypt is that we somehow come to recognize Paro.
Kerasin Hasadim. This is what he's asking about.
But we still don't attain that it's narrow for mercy. The true Egypt is that we cannot bestow. That is narrow from Hasadim, from mercy. We still don't understand that or feel that it's not. We don't like that. This that I lack to bestow, that will be only at the end of my exile. It's a long exile. 7 years of famine from this, that yes, that I slowly reach this that I want to bestow, and I have no opportunity. Thus, I must burst out of Egypt. Why? Because I am incapable in Egypt to bestow. And that's what Egypt prepares us for, meaning it's already a spiritual degree. It's not that people in the street, that you see them, that they're in Egypt, although they're greatly suffering, but it's suffering of beastly suffering. The suffering of Egypt is that already I cannot bestow, I want and I cannot.
How does a person hold the 10 during the exile in Egypt?
How does a person grasp the 10 in the exile of Egypt? That's the place where he needs to be incorporated in them, and along with them he can reach all his degrees.
Moscow 18, what is the difference between the understanding that we are in Egypt and the revelation of the recognition of evil?
It's actually the same thing. Just bad I can feel, right? But Egypt is called that I am truly in recognition, that I am under control of the evil inclination directed upon me from above.
WH, what can guarantee to all of us that we will reach the outcry and the desire to emerge from the will to receive? Is there some chance that we won't want to run away from the will to receive?
Of course there is. And thus, I need to understand that I cannot be sure of my will to receive. I can fall asleep, I can leave it, get tired, and that's it. I need all the time to be tied with the ten and receive from them the force for progress. Each one shall help his friend. That's obligatory. If I don't feel a push from the environment, at that moment, I am no longer in a spiritual direction. Maybe read again.
Again, item 28. Now we can fully understand the previous words. For he says, now, if you surely listen to my voice and keep my covenant, meaning make a covenant on what I'm telling you here, be my segula, remedy from among all peoples.
The covenant is the connection between the created beings to the upper force, the intention to bestow. How do we attain this intention, this force on the intention to bestow? And then it goes gradually, slowly, expands through all the nations of the world. The truth is, there's no difference between them. Each one in their character, their ego, each one in all sorts of forms of their own. But in sum total, they're building the final, ultimate connection between them, something whole. But in corrections, they're making each correction, each one to himself. As you know, let's say that we're creating a car, a vehicle. It has all sorts of parts in the car. We need to create them correctly, form them correctly, each and every one separately. We check them, and then we begin to assemble it. So here we're talking about this, that each and every nation needs to receive a correction of its own and then to connect. Yes.
I'd like to ask about it. I want to understand. So why do we need one nation that will correct everyone? Why can't he work with each nation and bring them to connection?
According to what will you make the correct connection?
As he works with Israel, he can work with each and every nation. He will connect them, and then he will bring them to connection with everyone.
No, specifically, it's Israel are those same people who are representatives from all nations of the world. From all nations of the world. They don't belong to anyone, and nobody belongs to them, and they don't belong to anyone. They are representatives of everyone. And so what they will receive can later expand in everyone.
It could also be done in every nation, have representatives and work with them.
That's exactly what it was. How did it happen in Babylon? All the nations that were in Babel, they each one in something, connected to a group, and received the method of connection, love thy neighbor as thyself, and accordingly called themselves Israel.
Next. This means that you will be my segula, and sparks of refinement and cleansing of the body will pass through you onto all the peoples and the nations of the world. For all the nations of the world are not yet ready for this.
One and one from them, each one cannot attain, cannot make connection and connection with the Creator, rather only by this that everyone connects to that same method that Israel, that this group tells them about.
And at any rate, I need one nation to start with now. So it will be as a remedy for all the nations.
But when they will do this, there will be a key, an entrance here for all the nations, all of humanity.
For this reason, he ends, for all the earth is mine, meaning all the peoples of the earth belong to me, as do you, and are destined to adhere to me. But now, while they are still incapable of performing this role, I need a virtuous people. If you agree to be the remedy for all the nations, I command you to be unto me a kingdom of priests, which is the love of others in its final form of love your friend as yourself, which is the axis of all the Torah and Mitzvot, and a holy nation, which is the reward in its final form of Dvekut with Him, which includes all the rewards that can even be conceived. These are the words of our sages in clarifying the ending. These are the words which you will say to the children of Israel. They made a precision. These are the words, no more and no less. This is perplexing. How can you say that Moses would add or take away from the words of the Creator to the point that the Creator had to warn him about it? We find no such example in the whole of the Torah. On the contrary, the Torah says about him, "For he is the trusted one in all my house."
What does it mean when it's written that the reward is the final form of the Devekut, including all the rewards that could ever announced? Just as it's written, is something is egoistic that we need to reach. What does it talking about?
It depends on how you interpret it. Adhesion to the Creator is called egoistic? Adhesion is called according to the equivalence of form, to the extent in which I am similar to the Creator. The Creator is the quality of bestowal, the highest, most complete and whole. So if I'm resembling Him, then I'm also in the high quality of bestowal in a very high place. So what could be egoistic there? Interpret the words correctly.
The final part, as it is written in a way that we could not understand why we don't have the clue to even imagine or think about it, just this.
I explained you this many times, but you don't hear. You hear your heart and not what I'm saying. Try to hear what you're being told. Try to aim yourself, to calibrate yourself to that which I'm saying. And then you will see that with my words is the essence of the situation that we're talking about.
Arvut is possible in the Ten also in Egypt, or only after we exit Egypt? Thank you.
Arvut can take place in the exit from Egypt, as without the exit from, without Arvut, there is no exodus from Egypt. There's no vessel for the exit from Egypt. The exit from Egypt is not that you're sitting on some ship or on the train and you travel. The exit from Egypt is called inside our vessel, to the extent in which you're connected. So accordingly, we exit our will to receive that's between us, and gradually, slowly, slowly feel that we're already in the revelation of the desire to bestow between us. That's called the exit from Egypt.
PT 23. I'll start what Rehovot, I'll continue what Rehovot started about being a personal example of being a Kohen, a priest. How will we become a nation of priests? Is it possible in our current state?
Of course, this has to do with us. as we need to rise to that degree in which each is in bestowal towards the other, in the ten, as much as possible, with all of one's heart, that's called that we're yearning to be priests, Kohanim. At least to yearn for that.
Tudaro.
Back to the men and continue.
29. Now we can fully understand that concerning the form of work in its last manner, as explained in the words, a kingdom of priests, which is the final definition of love your friend as yourself. It was indeed conceivable for Moses to restrain himself and refrain from disclosing the full manner of the work all at once, for fear that Israel will not want to detach themselves from all material possessions and give all their fortune and assets to the Creator, as instructed by the words, a kingdom of priests. It is like Maimonides wrote that women and children must not be told the manner of the clean work, which must be in order not to be rewarded, and wait until they grow, become wise, and have the courage to execute it. Therefore, the Creator gave him the above warning, no less, but offered them the true nature of the work in all its sublimity, expressed in the words, a kingdom of priests. Regarding the reward that is defined in the words, a holy nation, it was possible for Moses to contemplate interpreting and elaborating further about the pleasantness and sublime subtleness that come with dvekut, adhesion with him, to persuade them to accept this extreme, to completely detach themselves from any worldly possessions as do priests. Hence, he was warned no more, but be vague and to not explain the whole reward, including, in the words, a holy nation. The reason for this is that had he told them about the wondrous things in the essence of the reward, they would necessarily use and assume his work in order to attain that wonderful reward for themselves. This would be considered working for themselves, for self-love. That, in turn, would falsify the whole purpose. Thus, we see that regarding the form of the work expressed in the words, a kingdom of priests, he was told no less, and about the unclear measure of the reward expressed in the words, a holy nation, he was told no more.
That's it. This is actually this whole article, the Arvut, the mutual guarantee that we have to come to its implementation in a whole way, and this will be called the end of our correction. Of course, there are many things here that are not so clear, and we don't even know what's clear and what's not so clear. It's a continuation of the article Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, where he explained why the Torah was given, and here he explains what degree through the usage of the Torah we need to come to.
So how to acquire this courage?
We acquire it all from the Creator. There is no question about this, Mr. Navon. You have no other source from which you receive something. Both the bad and the good, you receive it all only from one source, from the Creator.
I have to ask the Creator for courage to bestow?
Of course. If not, where will you have it from? Tell me.
The ten society, that's the Arvut, isn't it?
Well, together with them, you're going to attain it.
So a whole ten has to ask for courage?
It's certainly missing for the ten, yes. Through the ten, we receive. A person can't receive alone. He doesn't have the kli. He connects to others, all together, turn to the Creator, ask, and receive.
Man's responsibility towards the ten is to correct himself, that's his arvut.
The arvut of a person in the ten is to come to love of friends, which includes bestowal to everyone, and through them bestowal to all the people in the world, and through them bestowal to the Creator.
Focus group.
Focus group.
What's the difference between not saying something to disclosing something that is blocked?
Try to come from love to each and every friend, and then from that love, if you overcome, then you will barely ever err.
Алматаван.
Спасибо, учитель. Раф, а стоит, есть ли смысл человеку задумываться?
Thank you, teacher. Should a person think of the alvut of the friends that they will be in alvut towards him, or should he think only how I can be in alvut to them?
Есть ли смысл задумываться о том, поручены ли товарищи?
Should a person think if the friends are in guarantee to him? If the friends are in alvut towards him on their behalf, or he only has to think of his alvut towards them.
If we agreed that we are a group, then I need as much as I can to support the my ten, my group, so that they will feel the arvut and will advance with it. If I understood.
Well,
from me, yes. But should I feel their alvut towards me, or is it not important to me if I feel it or not?
You must be certain that they are with arvut behind you. Yes. Because eventually, the Creator is the one that sustains the arvut, and it's not that the friends can supply something to you. Rather, they only give the kli, but the authority of that arvut is given by him. We are going to be reading from the readings of Baal HaSulam, the introduction to the study of Ten Tzviot. We are starting from item 49.
And prepare your questions.
Item 49. However, when troubles and torments accumulate to a great extent, it causes a double concealment, which the books name concealment within concealment. It means that even his posterior is not seen, meaning they do not believe that the Creator is angry with them and punishes them, but attribute it to chance or to nature and come to deny his providence in reward and punishment. This is the meaning of the verse, and I will surely hide my face, for they have turned to other gods. That is, they become heretic and turn to idol worshiping. God forbid. What's the work that they're stopping to do from one concealment to double concealment?
Because they have received such suffering, concealments, it disconnected them from any kind of connection from the Creator, not in heart and not.
Can we say that in double concealment, this takes place before exiting Egypt, and the one concealment is in Egypt?
No, I wouldn't say that before Egypt there's even a concealment. Let's keep going and we'll see what the concealment is. Do we see the Creator, or what we recognize, that there are any phenomena in this world? There's no connection with the Creator. We'll see. These things we'll still have to scrutinize and feel to such an extent that through them we'll discover the Creator as if He's before us. We have to reach a state that just like I see you now, at least on the screen, and it's clear to me who I'm dealing with, and the communication between us is clear in such a way, somehow, in such a way, I also discover my relation towards the Creator, and more, until dvikut, adhesion, meaning that we start working as we're connected and within one another. That's called that the Creator is clothed in man. That in this way man feels that the way he is, he moves and thinks and feels and sees and all his senses and everything he is. The Creator is in there and doing all these deeds with him. That's called none else besides him. That's the complete attainment.
Moscow 1.
When a person can't bestow the suffering from that state, is that as a result of one's efforts or from the Creator?
We can't say that it depends on us, but that everything depends on the Creator. That the Creator takes us through all kinds of states, events, and by that He conducts us and does all kinds of exercises with us, and through that reveals to us, like us with children. We take them to all kinds of places, put them in all kinds of activities, and by that we want them to learn more, incorporate more with reality, and by that they'll grow. That's what the Creator is doing with us, just not in the world of reception, but in the world of bestowal. So if we do want to be, to incorporate in the world of bestow and relationships of bestow, so very quickly we'll start feeling that the Creator is escorting us, pushing us to it. In short, He's taking care of us. Bulgaria 1.
Здравствуйте, Рав. Здравствуйте, товарищи. Рав, здесь говорится скрытие.
Hello, Rav. Hello, friends. It's written here about an emotional concealment or an intellectual concealment.
There's a difference between mind and heart, but for now we can't really discern between them. But usually it's in the feeling and then in the mind. Sometimes it can come opposite, but usually it starts from a feeling.
Да, дорогой Рав, вот вы сказали, что мы к такому ощущению.
Dear Rav, you said that
такое упражнение или
towards the Creator we need to be in such a way that we feel the friend. What kind of exercise can we do in the tent so that behind us all we will feel the Creator? Also in the same revealed way.
We have to engage in this delicately, because it could be that you'll start imagining that the Creator really standing behind you and conducting you, and that's already from here. You can start imagining Him that He's really something that isn't true. So what I recommend is try and do it in the 10, that you together connect between you, and as a result of the connection, you want to feel a special force that is revealed in you, and that is the Creator, as a result of your connection. That's it.
Я прошу прощения, так а что добавляется к этому чувству между нами, к чувству объединения?
What is in addition to that feeling of connection between us?
He is the inclusive, that He connects us all together into this concept of one.
שאם אנחנו יכולים להתחבר בינינו,
that if we can connect between us as one, that one is the Creator. That He is not there on one hand. On the other hand, if we make an effort, He is there between us. That's why He's called the concealed Creator.
What does it mean that we're connecting that way?
That's what you need to discover. You need to discover that the connection starts becoming so perfect that you unite and mend. You become as one. Just like you were in the system of Adam Rishon before the shattering. And then you start discovering from your connection that you're establishing as much as this connection is unique, that through the shattering and through the connection after the shattering, you start discovering that yes and no and yes, and these two opposites that exist and also unite, they give us the revelation of the Creator. The attainment of the Creator. That's it. That without this, we couldn't attain, discover in something, feel, understand, nothing. Because these two opposites exist in one.
Now, he says in concealment, about concealment, he doesn't believe that the punishment comes from him. Why does he not believe that the correction comes from him?
Because the Creator is in concealment. He's hiding. If a person feels bad, he doesn't believe it comes from the Creator. He can speak about it, but to feel that it came from the Creator, no. That's
it.
That's why we don't feel bad from the Creator. We can't. You can talk about it, but only talk about it.
Concealment of the face. Again, item 50. However, Beforehand, when the writing speaks only from the perspective of one concealment, the text ends, they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? This means that they still believe in providence of reward and punishment, and say that the troubles and suffering come to them because they are not adhered to the Creator. As it is written, these evils come upon us because our God is not among us. This is regarded as still seeing the Creator,
because he can say that there is no God within me. That's why it's the first concealment.
This is regarded as still seeing the Creator, but only from behind. For this reason, it is called one concealment, meaning only concealment of the face. Item 51. Now we have explained the two discernments of the perception of concealed providence, which people sense, meaning one concealment and concealment within concealment. One concealment relates only to the concealment of the face, while the posterior is revealed to them. This means that they believe that the Creator gave them the affliction as a punishment. And although it is hard for them to always know the Creator through his posterior side, which brings them to transgress, even then they are considered incomplete wicked. In other words, these transgressions are like mistakes because they come to them as a result of the accumulation of afflictions, since in general they believe in reward and punishment. Concealment within concealment means that even the posterior side of the Creator is hidden from them, since they do not believe in reward and punishment as mentioned. These transgressions of theirs are considered sins. They are considered complete wicked because they rebel and say that the Creator does not watch over his creations at all, and turn to idolatry. As it is written, for they have turned to other gods, God forbid. What is foreign work, idolatry, and how do we not reach that idolatry and not turn to other gods?
Idolatry means that I ascribe everything that's happening to me to the forces of nature, from the smallest things to the greatest things. From something happening in me, or if somebody jumps on me, and I relate the matter to him and not to the Creator. Next.
Moscow 18, what's the difference between concealment and exile?
Concealment and exile. Concealment is that I feel that the Creator is concealed from me, and there are different degrees in the concealment. And the exile is that he's not just concealed, but that I am under the control of the evil inclination in me. Let's have a small workshop. What did we learn here? Dudi? Please.
Sadna.
Workshop, what did we learn here now in the introduction to the study of Ten Sefirot? Please. Yes, a question. What does it mean to believe in reward and punishment?
To believe in reward and punishment means that I'm connected to the Creator as a source, and from there, everything that comes from there, and in according to my response, I'm sure that I get reward or punishment, and they're both good because they both aim me to the right way.
Midwest, are we supposed to feel the pain of the whole world, or do we need to say that this is something that the Creator gave us?
The Creator is giving it, correct, but we need to feel and identify with the whole world and feel the sorrow of the whole world, and that it'll hurt us for the whole world more than it hurts for ourselves. Because the greater the vessels are, they feel more suffering or happiness. And how can you compare a vessel of one person with the vessel of all of humanity? Next.
Odessa,
from double concealment, can I be taken out of that only by the friends?
Oh, so from the double concealment, also from the regular concealment, what I receive, the coming out of the exile, meaning coming out of exile, it goes through the friends. And what does it mean to come out of the exile? The exile means that I feel that we're not connected between us, and there's no Creator between us. And redemption means that we finally feel that there is a connection between us, and in according to that, the Creator is revealed between us. Meeting or a special one?
Every evening, many hundreds of women meet for a common prayer.
Oh, what to pray for? First, you have to try and reach a mutual prayer. And what can we pray? What can we pray for? For the Creator to connect our hearts, and that we will feel that really our hearts are connected together, and we won't be afraid that my heart suddenly comes out of me and is connected somewhere with hearts of other women, but that we all want to feel as one woman. And in that one woman, if we will incorporate together, by this we'll be able to feel the Creator as the groom, the husband, as ours. Please, make an effort and feel it.
Why is it talking about reward and punishment if we know that there are no punishments and from the Creator only good should come? What's the meaning by punishment?
If I don't feel myself adhered to the Creator in whatever I am, that's called a punishment, lack of adhesion. Lack of dvikut. Next.
WH, on one hand, we need to be in complete arvut. On the other hand, we need to believe that the Creator watches over His creatures fully. What's the right
attitude? The right attitude is that the Creator is guiding upon us in a complete way. And even though He is doing everything, it all also depends on me. As much as I pray and bring the entire vessel of humanity closer to the Creator in order to give them and the Creator good.
That's it for the time being. Thank you.
Good. I'm happy of your questions and altogether of the efforts you're making, and also that you're connecting to the prayer. It really, really affects it. It's good for everyone. And also in the name of the men, I want to say thank you for everything you're doing, for the efforts you're doing. Thank you.